Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started, but metaphorically.
Yeah, they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one with one on the way.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four.
Wow, this meal was so delicious. Katie, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Do you want some dessert?
Oh, no, I'm trying to be healthy.
But it is healthy. They're paleo cookie dough bites.
What? I don't understand. How do you have time during the work week to make cookie dough bites?
I don't, but I did have time on Sunday. In fact, I made all of this week's meals on Sunday. And then I spent the week on autopilot just popping in dough bites willy-nilly.
Oh, my goodness.
Guys, we weren't actually in my dining room. That was acting.
Acting. PrepDish is a meal planning service that offers gluten-free and paleo meals, and every week you get an email in your inbox with a grocery list with prep ahead instructions so that all of your meals are totally ready for the week with no guesswork needed. You can try it out for free for 2 weeks at prepdish.com/SK.
PrepDish. You'll become the kind of person who makes paleo bites.
And I'll eat them.
Shaylee, before FreshBooks Cloud Accounting, you want to know how I keep track of my business expenses? I'd squeeze my eyes really tight and I'd be like, remember, Katie, remember this.
Didn't work?
Sometimes.
Oh.
Usually in January when I'd file for taxes, I'd be like, wait, didn't I buy something at Hobby Lobby like last April? And then I'd search my bank statements. I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, there it is.
And what about all the things you just didn't remember? You know.
It evens out, probably.
Katie, the all-new FreshBooks is ridiculously easy to use. Then you can take pictures of receipts on your phone using FreshBooks iOS mobile app and make claiming your expenses a million times easier than just squinching your eyes and trying to remember. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners. You just go to FreshBooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
FreshBooks. It's like squinting your eyes.
Only better.
Automatically. Welcome back to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. Can I say, spoiler, we have a very attractive guest in the house.
We do.
Kelsey Baldwin is here.
Again.
You may know her from episode 23. And you'll know her again because she's got so much wisdom. We came back FOMO.
She's our first repeat guest and we were feeling like, is it okay if we have her on again? And then we looked at the dates and it's been literally almost... Two years to the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's time.
And also, she wasn't a published author then.
She was not. She has new stuff going on in life.
Kelsey, say hello.
Hi. Can I talk? Can I
say? You sure can.
This has been Shaylee and Katie. Don't let Kelsey speak.
Before we get into some awesome content about writing a book and making yourself write a book, some of the self-discipline and strategies that go behind that, and a bit about more about her story, we of course have to thank our amazing
fake
sponsor. This episode is brought to you by
libraries.
Hey, why is it brought to you by that?
Well, you know, they have to secure funding certain ways, so when they
I see
when they advertise on podcasts such as this, people will go out and check out books for free, and then they I don't know how it works.
Are we in a library right now? That's where I was going with that.
We are.
Oh,
we are okay. In a library.
I figured out something this year called libraries have spaces you can reserve for free.
Yeah.
I mean, or taxpayer dollars, whatever.
We're already paying for it. We're utilizing our already purchased
exactly
library space.
So we are right now in a windowless library room.
It's like a cell.
It's like a prison cell. Because we go all out for our guests.
But we can bring in...
The first time we had Kelsey on, we were like, brewed her special coffee.
Yeah,
it had like
that.
Plants.
This no, time we're like, pick up coffee on your way, because there's none at the library.
There is at the library, though. They have a Keurig out there.
It's like kind of coffee.
$2.
Mm. It's a lot.
$2 for Keurig coffee?
Can you BYOK?
You know what? They got to make money so they can sponsor podcasts.
That's right. True. Yeah, okay, so back to that. We need some taglines for libraries.
Libraries. Guys, you get to just take the books home with you for free.
It's all free.
Yeah. It's completely free, guys, unless you forget every single time, and then they charge you, and then you're like, oh, that's how this works.
Mm, I see. I'm very reliable with my books. I respect.
You're also here every day, so I feel like...
I am here every day.
I feel like that makes it easier.
Kelsey, you got one?
Libraries.
Shh. Nailed it. Thanks, libraries. Yeah, speaking of libraries,
we're not cut out for libraries.
At some point, your book could be in a library. You wrote a book.
I don't know how you do that. Anyway.
I don't know. I don't know if that benefits you.
I think you start by writing a book.
Yeah,
that's true. A start.
And then the library finds you.
Okay, so Kelsey is here, and she's here to say that she wrote a book in a major way. Kelsey, will you tell us a little bit about why you decided to write a book and what the book is about?
Yes, I wrote a book, and let's see.
First of all, does that feel cool to say?
Yeah.
You wrote a book!
Woo! Yes. Today we have author Kelsey Baldwin. Okay.
That title is still weird to me. Yesterday was National Authors Day.
What?
You're like, it's me!
Do I get to celebrate that now?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Answer, yes.
Yes. I've always wanted to write a book. Didn't know what I'd write about. And then some crazy stuff went down.
Let's double click on that.
Episode 23.
Yes. Well, you got to tease it for them. In case this is your first episode, tell us the premise of what some crazy stuff went down.
So, in a nutshell, my husband of almost 5 years asked for a divorce, and then about 30 minutes later, I found out I was pregnant. Bad day.
Bad day.
Bittersweet day.
It qualifies. Bad day, good day.
Yeah. So then, so he moved out, and so I was a single mom from day one.
Of pregnancy. Which is a very unique single mom. It's
very unique.
Yes.
Situation, because you found yourself at prenatal appointments and also a divorce lawyer's office.
Yes.
Sometimes in the same week.
Yes.
And I've thought before, like, oh, it would be like someone who accidentally got pregnant and, like, wasn't in a relationship with the dad, and then they're a single mom from day one. I'm like, but they didn't have the illusion right. of a committed 5-year marriage before then.
Actively separating.
So it's like, right, that you're actively separating during the whole pregnancy part. Oof. So,
yeah, it was rough, but learned a lot. And then I wrote a book about it.
Yeah, you did. okay, so I want to hear a little bit about this term, messy middle. You said a lot of people wait until everything's tied up before they write a book.
Yeah, which is so true.
But what made you decide to not wait?
Yes, I kind of always had in my head that I would write this book, but it would be when I was remarried and had more kids and it was all done behind me. And then listening to a different Shaylee and Katie podcast with Kendra.
Mm-hmm. That was Kendra Skinner, okay. Episode 39. We looked it up.
And yeah, she was talking about infertility and she was still in the middle of it. And it was just really interesting to hear her perspective about, like, if she doesn't have it all figured out, she doesn't have the rainbow baby or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's still struggling through it, and she was saying not enough people share from that place. So I was kind of like, bing.
I got chill bumpies right that one guest inspired another guest to write a book.
You did.
Now. I think that's so powerful, though, because usually the people who read books like that are the ones that are walking through it. So it's kind of encouraging to see that, oh, they came out on the other side. But it's kind of like when you share something terrible. Somebody I know on Facebook lost a spouse, and someone commented the day that they posted that they, like, passed away. Like, I know someone whose wife passed away, and their kids are all in the military now, and they're doing great and in their 30s. And I'm like, he doesn't want to hear that now. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
That's, like, great that you have, like, a great triumphant story, but people just kind of want to marinate in the middle,
yeah.
I think sometimes.
Yeah, or you just like, you don't feel like you can share it until, I don't know, maybe we're programmed to like, and then the happy ending. And
right.
So maybe it's harder to share and say, and I'm still kind of there.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in my head I was like, that's a good place to write from. Maybe that'll be just more for me. But lots of readers, like every Amazon review comments on how it was so refreshing to hear from that perspective rather than everything's all tied up with a bow and I'm over here now and all the stuff that happened before was hard, but I'm over it. And you're like, it was really refreshing to just hear from someone who's like, yeah, it still sucks right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will say it's too, it's like on, it's on paper. You could be like, and then I'll be on the other side when I have my husband and two additional children and a white picket fence or whatever. It's like, no, you have a adorable house with white picket fence. You just bought it yourself. And you don't have the husband, but like, that's not what you're waiting on to like complete where you are. So you could also look at that in a way of, it just, you are on the other side. It just doesn't look like maybe the boxes that you decided that you needed to check for that.
Yeah, I think
but you have a
like,
successful business and a book and a house. And
yeah, that's the conclusion I think I came to. And even like came to like as I was writing it, I think I was like, oh yeah, I do have an ending. Maybe not what I was expecting, but and it's still good. Because yeah, I have a cute little daughter, so.
And then talk about talk about grieving. This isn't on our little outline, but before Katie geeks out on her practical tips of how you actually physically wrote the book.
Hey, I can hang in the messy middle for
longer. Talk. I think this is something that really, you spoke at the Bravery Board, and your talk is on their podcast as well. Shout out.
Yes.
But you talked about grieving the loss of
expectations.
Yeah. So yours was, Katie's a hard drive of memory.
I read the book.
I'm pregnant.
She wasn't even there.
I read every word of this book, okay? Because my name was in it.
Also, Shaylee like, and Katie's names are in this book. The book is called Brave Girl.
No. Hold on. I'm going to, the book is called Strong Girl, Brave Girl.
It's called Expectations.
Remember? The book is called Shaylee and Katie are named in it one time. And kept reading thinking, is she gonna say Shaylee anymore? I'm just kidding. I wrote it in. I took notes. I know you did. I was very honored. Totally kidding. No expectation, but very sweet. But also, you talked about grieving the loss of, for you, what life was going to look like. So grief doesn't always have to be, I lost a spouse, there was a tragic car accident, which is obviously what most people think of with grief. But it could be the 35-year-old that thought she'd be like married with four kids and she's still totally single. Mm-hmm. Or someone who had like a committed marriage and thought, let's have a kid. And then was like, wait, all that's gone, but the kid's here. Or just a job. You thought a job was going to look one way and it didn't. Or your life or relationships or whatever. I think allowing people the permission to grieve different things and not in a way where it's like, you're selfish because it could be worse. Where it's like, no, it's just different processes. I don't know. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I don't think it has to be when somebody or something dies. Like, just anything that was good that you liked that ends. Like, a season or, a relationship or a job or an expectation or something you thought would happen at a certain time but didn't, or in a certain order but didn't.
So what are, like, what are practical tips that you do in your own life? Because you probably notice now, like, oh, that didn't go the way I was wanting. Okay, let me do a mini grieve session for this little thing and then move on. What, like, are you better at it now? Can you, like,
I don't know.
Do you, like, a power grieve or
what? I can relate to that. I power grieve sometimes.
Yeah, I think if I feel that coming up, like I think of an example, of like a school party at my daughter's school, like their Valentine party last year didn't go so great. And I think I was like super self-conscious because I'm a single parent and in my head I'm the only one that exists on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so going into a classroom with all the other like moms and dads and just feeling like super out of place. And then she was just in a phase of life where she was melting down a lot. And so like, I think I left that literally crying, walking to my car, like, well, that went crappy. And so I think just having to remind myself when I'm like, that didn't go as expected. Just like, well, yeah, it probably nothing goes as expected usually. So lose the expectation. And just, she had her Halloween party and I was like, no expectations. If she melts down, that's okay. All kids melt down.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they have two parents or one parent.
Exactly.
I was going to say.
Sometimes
like,
they are often. Right.
Opal melting down makes me feel like crying too.
Yes.
And also, I think half the people probably think I'm a single mom because I make awkward comments about things. And then I drive away and I think like, oh, I probably set that up where it was uncomfortable for them because it was like I was trying to act like, I don't know,
I would love to hear what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, I was going to I called Incredible Pizza, a local place that we were going to have her little birthday party. And I was talking to the guy and he goes, have you guys been to Incredible Pizza? And I was like, she goes a lot with her dad, but I've never been with her. Because when Jonathan takes her on dates, he like takes her to Incredible Pizza. I've never been with them. And so we got off the phone and I was like, I think he thinks I'm, like, we're divorced, probably.
That is the single mom line.
Because it sounded her dad, like yeah.
when her, she's dad, with
her dad brings her like to Incredible Pizza.
Clue.
Right.
Right. And then I was like, oh, because at the end he's like, well, tell her happy birthday. I'm like, he was really nice. He was
he
like,
could have also just
know,
been nice.
You don't need to rent the party room. You can just bring your cake on in. I was like, he's probably like, bless her heart. She is sick. She's pregnant again.
Right.
Single mom. So anyway, I don't know if you get sympathy, but maybe I'll try it more.
I was going to say, too, I feel awkward at all class parties
100%. Yeah, yeah. Then I was like, maybe that's just how
there is
go.
A strange, like, okay, none of us really know each other yet, but we're talking to our kid.
My
in
daughter,
front of each other.
My daughter says she doesn't like you when she gets in the car. I hope she doesn't say that to her face.
I'm like, am I in charge or is the teacher in charge? Yes. Who's the authority?
That's
who's
true.
Who's going to try to get her to sit on the potty?
I don't know how discipline works in this room when yeah. I'm in this room. No, that's really interesting. So another thing, a shout out to my sister-in-law, Lacey, who kind of brought up the word grief to me because I've had so many strange just ups and downs with conceiving children. I've had times where I wanted to conceive so badly and couldn't, and then had this surprise pregnancy back when I had all of my ducks lined up in a row and was headed back to work. And so obviously my first instinct was like, you be happy immediately because this is a blessing and you have no right. You've been there. This is a blessing. This is a blessing grilling into my head.
Don't you and, dare complain about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't complain that I'm having a blessing of a child. But my sister-in-law, Lacey, said, she kind of called me out and said, you know, it's okay if you actually need to grieve just for, you know, a little while because there is a version of your life and a version of you that just died.
Yeah.
It did. And it's okay. And then you'll be fine because you're going to accept it and then you're going to move on. But it's okay.
Sliced
if
off
you...
a piece of your life and made an adorable Sadie.
Yeah, which is great. But like I had childcare on the books. I had, you know, I was going back to work and then I wasn't anymore, you know, in the term of like a few minutes. And it's okay to sit in that for a second. And no, you're not going to sit in it forever because that's not productive, but acknowledge it and kind of live with it. And I actually even looked up because I was like, grief seems dramatic. And I looked up the stages of grief. I think it's there's yes. five. I think.
Yes, and there's a bonus sixth one.
Oh, Kelsey. I was like, Kelsey.
Yeah, there is a bonus sixth one, and I was trying to summon that right now, but.
The sixth one is acceptance, which they added
okay,
like, many years after.
Okay,
it's like
so what are
they? They can adjust it.
Do you have them off the top of your head?
Anger, denial. This is not the right order, probably.
Yeah, it's okay.
Bargaining, depression.
Yes.
I feel like the fifth one.
Write a book and then acceptance.
Is it maybe the fifth one is acceptance and the sixth one is a different one? I don't know.
Yeah,
I talk about it in the book a little bit.
Anyway, and so and know that you're gonna get to acceptance, but maybe it's easier to kind of like acknowledge it and let yourself kind of go through those stages mm-hmm. with yeah. a little bit more grace. Don't be so hard on yourself, and then know you're gonna get to acceptance and you're gonna move on. You're not gonna like stay in bed the rest of your life,
but it's yeah. okay if you take a couple days.
Yeah, and maybe don't just like fake it so hard because I was like, it's gonna be fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm so happy.
You're gonna go through it eventually. It's like ignoring a broken leg
yes.
or a torn Achilles tendon.
Right.
You're gonna have to get the surgery. It's just how messed up is it gonna be when you have to get it, and how much yeah. extra damage are you gonna do by not addressing the problem?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's better to just sit in it for a while. Then like brush it under the rug and then have it pop up later at an
take care of it while
time.
It's fresh. Yeah,
because it kind of it will probably pop up.
Yes,
it will.
Ignore it.
Mm-hmm. I used a real. It sounded like it was a hypothetical analogy, but Jonathan literally walked around with a torn Achilles tendon for 2 weeks, and then when he had it looked at, they were like, "Man, if you had gone like another half of a week, the tendon would have started healing and it would have been permanent damage. You wouldn't have been able to reattach." And I was like, "What?"
And you would have had to have surgery, you mean?
Well, he had to have surgery.
Oh, okay.
But mm-hmm. basically, it wouldn't attach correctly because it would have healed on its own, all gnarled.
Mm.
So it's kind of the same thing. Like, it could yeah. it could be a worse thing if you put it off than if you just get it taken care of when it's fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing that I I like on this topic is I was someone who, I mean, singleness was like, how fast can I get rid of being single? Like, I was on like this mission plague to find a husband immediately and marry him as fast as possible. I was like, I'm assuming statistically you meet your spouse in college because that's where all the single dudes are at of marrying age. So I have 4 years to pull this off because I don't know how you find people after college.
Kelsey's like, me neither.
Let me know if you do.
And it felt like this ticking time bomb. And I remember being at like some type of church retreat or something where all the girls, I mean, it was the most common like thing we were all talking about was it's really hard to be single, and a married person raised their hand and she was like, I don't know how I can make you believe this, but it's also hard to be married. So if you can't figure out a way to, you know, cultivate a rich life while you're single and you think that the second you're married, that's going to be the answer. It's putting so much more pressure on that marriage. And that's something I can relate to because, I mean, every single day I'm reminded that I am a mortal person married to a mortal person. And if I can't cultivate a rich life independent of Jared, even though we're married, I can't. I mean, it's not his responsibility to make my life rich. It's mine, period.
Yeah.
And so I think your book is another reminder of, okay, but she's in the messy middle. Does that mean she's like, I'm not going to be happy?
Sad.
That'd be ridiculous, right?
Kelsey gets up every morning. She's so dedicated, and she cries from 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. And then, no, I'm just kidding.
She's very organized.
Whatever. She like,
batch.
She's very organized. She batches her grief.
We'll get to batch product. Batch crying. Maybe that would be healthy. I don't know. Scheduling your grief from 8 to 8:30.
Power blocked.
Things power need to blocked.
Power grief. Or whatever you said, power grief. So I don't know, and I felt like your book did a really good job of staying optimistic and positive and really encouraging, but not sugarcoating the fact that some of this stuff's really hard.
Yeah.
And one of the things you mentioned too is maybe you can't relate to anything that I just said, and that's fine too, because my only mission was to tell the truth as honestly as I can, and if at the very least, here's a perspective you haven't heard before. And I think like that is enough. Like that's enough. Mm-hmm. And maybe it will change lives. I think it has, this book. Sorry, giving a hard sell.
Hard sell. Order the book now.
But at the very least, you go, oh, wow. So that's what some people's life is like. Yeah.
Right. I can that's handle a lot the of challenges. Fact that, like, I'm still not in my house yet.
Shaylee's renovating.
I mean, I know. It makes you thankful if you're not walking through that exact scenario.
Kelsey's also renovating. Has renovated.
Kelsey does everything better than us on her own. Yeah. But anyway, but then also walking through that. And you laugh. I think that it's not like a sad book. That's another thing. Is it's like there were parts where I cried. But I would say I laughed more.
Yes.
And you wrote it in such a witty, funny way. And it's not like a bashing book. Mm-hmm. It's very honest. So you're not like all roses and like, and then her dad and I are best friends. And we still get together for breakfast every Wednesday. Where it's like realistic and real. But you're not like, he's a horrible person. He did this to me. Like, I feel like you were very fair and you, I don't know. It's like an uplifting book. It's not like, let's read this. It's like the notebook version of some sort of, I'm going to cry for 3 hours while I power through this.
Yeah, it's a lot of like heavy topics. And so I feel like I use humor maybe as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yep, me too.
So yeah, I always knew like, I'm going to write a book, it's going to be funny, even if there's heavy topics to kind of break it up.
That's the best kind of book.
Yeah,
that's what I like to read. I'm not a reader. Katie's a reader. I'm not a reader, and I read it in 2 days.
That's what a lot of people have
first
told
of all,
me, people that don't.
It's six
I'm
pages,
I'm a reader,
but
and that doesn't take away from
me. I am not a great reader. Like, I mean, I know how to read, but
I'm just
I don't
saying,
read a lot of books.
It takes so. Hunger Games to get me glued to a book, is what I'm saying.
Mm. Yeah, I'm the same.
It takes
it's actually
that
weirdly
level.
Similar to Hunger Games.
A little bit.
A lot of child violence in it.
There's a lot of child violence.
Okay, so do you mind sharing with us why you chose the title of your book?
Yes. So I really like books that like have kind of a cryptic title. This maybe is not very cryptic, but that explain the title like at the end of the book and you're always like waiting for it.
Yeah, I like that too.
I don't know why, that's a weird thing, but so I kind of wanted to do that, but it's also kind of self-explanatory. But it was like a
she's
little...
She's the girl.
Which I know.
Well, no, because I was like, is she the girl or is Poppy the girl? And then I was like, they're both I won't tell you. We won't tell you.
I'm the girl.
Am I the girl?
We're all the girls.
The girls are the girl. Women. Mm-hmm. The women. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So it's like a little phrase that me and my daughter Poppy say back and forth to each other to like help, I don't know, not be anxious or nervous or like when she would be afraid of, she's not as much this way, but she used to be like very sensitive to like big crowds of people or lots of noise or just anything that was like out of her routine. Yeah, and so when I could tell she was like getting nervous, I'd be like, okay, what are we? And she'd go, strong girl, brave girl. Roll her eyes. And so, yeah, and she'll say it back to me sometimes, too, if I'm, like, she can tell I'm frustrated about something. She's like, Mom, you're a strong girl and a brave girl. And I'm like, hey, yeah, you're right.
So when in writing the book was that, like, oh, that's the title?
It was kind of before, like, right in the beginning when I was starting to write it, and I was kind of outlining just different little anecdotes and stuff that I thought I might want to include somewhere. So that was one of them, and kind of asked a few close friends, and they're all like, yes, that has to be
do it. I love it. It's perfect. So then how do you go about actually writing a book? Because that seems like such a lofty goal.
It's daunting.
Yes, it is. I read a lot of blogs from authors that I liked who kind of offered some teaching and stuff about how to go about and write it. I went to a writing workshop that was all about like writing your story down, even if not for publishing reasons, but just like therapeutically. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting. Yeah. And so I watched a YouTube video from Pat Flynn, who is a podcaster and an author. And he had, kind of like this strategy to just write down like every single thing on a note card that you want to talk about. And so you just like brain dump all of it on note cards, every little story or topic or phrase or anything. It doesn't have to be at all organized. And then you kind of just get it all out.
That's cool.
Start like moving it around. And that helps me visually to like piece things together and see like, what do I have a lot of content for? Like literally a lot of cards.
Like a and bird's eye view. Have?
Yeah. I'm an organizer, so that was like really fun.
Yeah, that speaks to me. I was like, I could do that.
Yeah, I've used that for like writing e-courses and anything else like big, like a big project that you have to like map
it's
out.
It's like solving a murder. Do you take like red string and you tie it to different cue cards?
Yeah, Strong Girl, Brave Girl is a true crime story.
We won't tell you who dies, but it wasn't Kelsey or her daughter. That's really good. What I like about your answer to that as well is that I think in my head when I hear someone wrote a book, I'm like, oh, they must just be like a writer who's good at writing books. Like they were born knowing how to do it.
No.
But even though you're a good writer, it's like, no, I studied it and I went to places to learn skills on how to do it. Yeah. And then I went to like a workshop and I'm like, oh, so you learned how to write a good book and then you did it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there were steps. You weren't just inherently like good at writing a book and knew all the things to do.
Yeah. And I think I've always really liked storytelling in general. So, like, even just, like, watching shows, I'm like, how do they tell a story? Do they, like, show the murder right at the beginning, and then they backtrack throughout the episode, and then you end up back
with the murder.
Yeah. So I kind of have always been intrigued by, like, those types of storylines. So I kind of had a few different ideas of, like, what order do I want to share this stuff in, and, like, what do you need to know first before I get into this other topic or whatever. So I ended up telling it pretty linear.
But your chapter titles made it really like nice and cohesive. Like,
yeah.
The birth, divorce.
Those were actually like placeholders because I know I would get like caught up in trying to think of like a clever title for things. Right. And so I'm like, I just need to like name it what it is. I'll come back to it. And then by the time I was done with it, I was like, I kind of like the juxtaposition of like this really complicated like story and timeline with like very oversimplified like, divorce.
Literally what it is. You did hop around though, because you told it in a linear chapter form, but I feel like you jumped around with little tidbits or you'd say, we'll come back to that or we'll talk about that later or something. You'd kind of hop around in the story, which I like too.
Yeah.
Can we also I would like to hear just a little bit more information about that writing workshop on how writing down your story is therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Did you find that to be true as you wrote down your life story?
Yes.
For masses.
Yeah, it was super therapeutic. And I knew it would be, and so I kind of wanted to give myself plenty of like time and space to write it, not knowing like what's that going to drum up and what, like, how's that going to feel to like refresh all of these old memories and stuff. There were some nights where I was like writing and like crying.
Oh, gosh.
And had to just like put it away for a minute to like regroup or come back or take a couple days off from writing or something. So, because I was like, a lot of it is pulled directly from journal entries that I wrote like while I was going through things, and like literally dug out journals from my basement and like transcribed things. And so, it was interesting to look back at things and cool to like see how far I've come and like what I thought in those moments and kind of how time helps to, what is it, hindsight's 2020. It's very helpful.
Yeah, do you feel like you had any like big, I don't know, revelations? Like, oh, that's...
I think it's just, I talk about it a little bit at the very end of the book, but I think it's just interesting to like pull back, kind of like you said, and see a bird's eye view of like your whole life. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, this thing happened, and then later this happened. And like, if that didn't happen, this wouldn't have happened, and I wouldn't have had all these other experiences. And it's kind of interesting to see how things connect and how timelines play out, and I don't know, see that you're not in control of all of it. Mm.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, kind of encouraging, but kind of not either.
Kind of feels like you're out of control.
Yeah.
So you think it would be beneficial for someone who has no desire to publish a book, but to mm-hmm. still journal through some stuff?
Yeah. And I think, like, I found in the hardest parts of all of the different parts of the story, that's kind of the thing that I kept going back to, is if I was like overwhelmed about something, I would like feel drawn to my computer to open it up and just dump everything out, and always felt better after. So I think maybe there's different ways. There's obviously different ways people process stuff, but I think writing is a pretty darn good one.
It's almost like verbally, people who like to verbally decompress, like I feel like I call my mom and I want to like just like blah.
Yeah, and or I whatever. Had some that were just like stream of consciousness, like no punctuation.
Yeah.
Just all these thoughts.
Well, sometimes it's maybe more healthy to write it instead of tell someone, because then you can go back and be like, gonna
somewhere
delete that
like line.
That shouldn't have ever left my mouth. Good thing it was on the writing.
Yeah.
And you journal in like a Word document, or how do you?
I journal in Evernote, which is like a note-taking app. I just have like you can organize them in notebooks. So I have a notebook that's my journal. And I just, the title, you have to like title each note, and the title is just the date. Because again, I was like, I'm going to try to think of a clever title for a journal entry. I don't know why.
I'm going to be exhausted by the time I start.
Bad day again.
And then it came, handy a lot, like writing the book. Because I needed to know, like, okay, I'm going to go find the dates of when I was going through this relationship or whatever.
Or instead of a, like, weird random title, you can be like, oh, that was right before Christmas that year. Or,
and
oh, that was
for some reason, I like to look back at them every once in a while and look at, like, a year ago or, like, on this date, you know, last year or 2 years ago. Like, what exactly was I going through?
So talk about the date that you launched your book.
Yeah. October 21st was the
date. October 21st.
Which was purposefully chosen. That was the day the now ex-husband left and pregnancy test. The next year was when we were finalizing our divorce.
Which was completely ironic.
Yes, because we couldn't file anything till after the baby was born. So I had to wait till then. So it ended up being around the same time of year. And then the court randomly will assign a court date, mail you a letter, and it was October 21st.
So crazy.
And I was like, that's funny. And then the next year, I think it was the next year, is when I kind of officially started this second relationship, or new relationship after the divorce, which I talk about in the book.
Which, can I say, as someone who is your good friend, I didn't know anything about that relationship, and I was like on the edge of my seat in that chapter.
I met you guys right after that. Right.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know this. This is so interesting.
That was an interesting part of the book because it felt like a weird season in my life. Like, it didn't fit. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like, whoa, this is a totally different story.
And I was so living somewhere else.
Yeah, it just felt like weird, like an out-of-body mm-hmm. part of my life, kind of. And so in writing the whole book, I always felt like that chapter, like, stuck out. Like, I considered just getting rid of it for a while.
Oh, I'm glad,
like,
it's in there.
This feels weird because it's, like, just feels really different than the rest of the mm-hmm. book. But I'm like, that's how it was. Like,
I was like, it was weird and it was different. It was a weird little part of your life.
And now that I've, like, now that it's out there and other people are reading it, a lot of women who have gone through a divorce were like, yes, I went through, like, a rebound relationship after, and it was super weird, and, mm-hmm. like, it felt exactly like this, and so I'm glad I left it in.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so how often do you journal? Do you have, are you disciplined about it?
No, not at all. I really just journal when I feel crappy.
When she feels that your whole life? Coming,
or if I just feel the mood to write. I honestly haven't journaled as much
since you wrote an entire book.
You get some dead time.
Your journal is about, like, writing a book.
So I need to take a break.
So you never set deadlines, like, every Monday I'm going to write a half of a chapter or anything like that?
So I did kind of schedule in, I don't have, like, scheduled journal time, but after I had outlined all of the book and kind of had rough ideas of chapters and stuff, and then I copy and pasted in, like, journal entries that fit in on the timeline wherever, knowing that they would probably be edited or some were not edited. I put in time on my calendar, to write. Not necessarily like from 10 to 2, I'm going to write this many words or whatever, but just I wrote mostly in the evenings after my daughter went to bed because I cannot focus on writing when she's asking for snacks over and over and over and over. Or when, like, Daniel Tiger is on in the background.
All of my journals start to rhyme.
Right.
Making something one way. Two, turn it off!
Okay. Yeah, so I would write, like, a few days a week in the evening after she went to bed. And I kind of had a rough idea of I want to have, like, 20,000 words by the end of the month or whatever. Keep myself on somewhat of a timeline. I didn't hit all of those, and I was fine with it. But that's the joy of self-publishing, is you can publish it whenever you want.
Whenever you, when you're self-publishing.
That also sounds like my actual creative nightmare, because I'm like, I need a deadline, and I need someone else to hold me to it.
What helped me hold myself accountable was telling people about it, such as yourselves.
Yeah.
And then asking me every other Tuesday night, how's the book going? And feeling I'm an obliger. And so I feel like I have to oblige the people, and, like, I told them I'm gonna write a book, so I have to write it now.
Gotta write this.
And, like, posting about it on Instagram, and
you had that
just
date.
Knowing that people are following along with it. Yeah, October 21st was, like, I started writing it in August of the year before, so I knew, like, that's plenty of time. I'm pretty sure I can do that.
If I miss that deadline, it's a whole nother 12 months, so I better.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, and then how did you finish the book?
I finished on a little writing retreat. I booked a hotel at a room that I wouldn't normally
stay
at.
She booked out a whole hotel, guys. She just ran around in her pajamas.
She's a millionaire.
That's a great idea.
She's a millionaire.
Well, I booked a room there and kind of made a weekend of it, and I knew I had, like, one chapter left, and by that point could kind of guess how long it would take to write. So
Is how long does it take Kelsey Baldwin to write one chapter?
Well, I ended up splitting that one into two chapters, and I was there for 2 days. So
so if you just did a little bit of drugs and you went crazy, you could technically write the whole book in, like, a month.
I don't know,
like, if you did drugs, right?
Maybe not.
Maybe that's
drugs
not a
good
are
the answer.
Is caffeine a drug? Because I feel like that could get me through. I could write a bad book in a month.
Yes.
Okay, so Writer's Retreat was not a legit, like, retreat, like a workshop. You, like, made your own Writer's Retreat.
Yeah, I just bought some wine, had some Girl Scout cookies.
Were they strong? Girl Scout cookies? Brave? Girl Scout cookies?
They were Thin Mints. The only kind of Girl Scout cookie you need. So.
Word.
And maybe that's like an introvert's dream, is to just be locked in a hotel room and nobody talks to me, and I can order up all my meals, and I can just write.
I think that's any mother's
dream. Is it in the art hotel?
Mm-hmm. 21C. Yeah. So but tell us all over the country.
Well, tell them what that is, because that does sound super magical.
It's called 21C, and it's like an art museum and a hotel. And so, like, in the lobby, they have art that you can go look at. And then it's just, like, a more modern hotel. And the art and, like, the design of the rooms is really nice, which
it was inspiring
I
space.
Care about. Yeah.
You weren't like, really, a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, it was very inspiring. Yeah.
So, and like, you had, splurged, like, on a fancy hotel.
Yes. They had nice soaps.
Yeah.
And I had a nice robe that I wore almost the whole time.
You know, it's a nice hotel when you're like, you know what? I'm going to put that robe on.
Yeah.
And you're not like, how long has that robe been in there?
But this is what I love. And I would not consider myself an introvert, but I do think writing is an introverted task. Or, you know, it's a task that you can't really do around other people. But
while you're talking,
I'm learning about myself. I'm just very inspired by the space I'm in. And if I designate a task to a space and I say, I'm not leaving this space until the task is done, period. That's just what's happening. I will complete the task. So every now and then I get a little burnout on photo editing. Not all the time, but sometimes when you've had a whole bunch and you're kind of backlogged.
If you just got your wedding back, she loved every minute.
I loved every minute. But you kind of have to say, okay, I'm going to my very favorite coffee shop today because this isn't my very favorite task. And I will not leave this coffee shop until it's done.
Yeah.
Period. So then you can kind of check out of the hotel going, I've done
the task.
I've done the task.
And the
task.
Yeah, that was the exact reason for it. And it's like a motivation. Like, once I booked it, it was like something to look forward to. Like, if you finish, like, stick to your deadline so that when you're there, you can, you're not going to, like, feel behind, but you'll feel like, okay, I can finish the writing, be done, and then, like, enjoy being in a nice hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
So zooming out, unless you have any more in-depth questions about the process.
I do have one introvert question.
Okay. Tell me. You hit her with the introvert question.
You also did a bunch of Instagram stories from your writer's retreat, and they were so cute. They're still highlighted on her Instagram profile. But I always think that's interesting because there is something, even inside an introvert, that you're like, I'm alone, but I also kind of wanted people to see how cool this writing retreat is. Right. So it's like there's that line of, because I've had, I went on a photography workshop all by myself one time in California. I was like, I'm an extrovert who's 100% alone. Like, just, I felt so empowered because I just booked it on my own and I went on my own and I stayed in a hotel room by my own. And I found myself taking 1,000 photos and blogging the whole thing. I mean, back then there was no Instagram, but.
I got to text my husband to show him how cool
this is. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, what is that inside you, but I mean, that sounds universal, extrovert or introvert. There's something inside us that's still kind of like, I'm here alone, but also look, isn't this cool?
I think that's like something probably I do more now than I used to. Also, not having the built-in person that you text everything to.
Yeah, when I said you text your husband, and I was like, sorry, Kelsey.
Don't worry. Then I've gotten used to like just sharing, figuring out other people to share with.
Which was also.
Part
and
of
there
your
were
background.
A lot of people like.
You have, like, 12,000 husbands on Instagram.
I was, like, writing about it on Instagram, like, the whole process of writing for, like, you know, a year or more. And so a lot of people were, like, following along with that process. So I think it was fun to, like, share, like, this is the end of it, and this is how I'm celebrating it. And
exactly, yes.
Here's how literally anyone can do this.
Yeah, it was inspiring, because I guarantee you somebody was like, well, I could do that.
Or if you're not writing a book and you just want to get away for a weekend, like... really fun.
Yeah, don't wait for someone else to make that happen.
Call it a writer's retreat, and they're like, what are you writing? And you're like, personal journals, don't worry about it.
Or just go listen to podcasts.
I wrote 3 words. Yeah.
Or read a book.
Podcast retreat. Katie and I have talked about doing that.
I do say I fear that I would book that hotel and have all these great dreams and be like, wow, I'm going to sleep.
I'm napped the whole time.
Sleep so
I slept
hard.
In, yeah.
That's good. Okay, so bird's eye view, we're zooming out. Someone either like me who would say, I never in a million years could ever think I could write a book, but I have this bubbling story, which I don't have.
Oh, anything. I was like, what is
it? No, I don't have a bubbling story. I'd be the person who'd probably have, I have heard some people say that they write stuff by like, they just record themselves talking.
Oh yeah, that's
and then they go
people.
Back. I'm like,
there's services you can like record it on your phone and send
they type
a file
it up.
And they'll transcribe it.
I would type it up and it would be like, Charlie from Always Sunny, where it's like his writings are just like scribbled pictures. I'd be like, none of this is a full sentence. Okay, but someone who maybe wants to write it and isn't like, literature was my favorite, mm-hmm. reading was my favorite subject in school or whatever, and it's intimidating, so they never thought they could, what would be just some really simple, practical takeaways or tips that you would give them as someone who just finished it?
Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Like, the first draft is not the final draft. Mm. And that could be applied to all of life, probably. Mm.
First draft wow. is not your final draft.
Your first marriage is not your final draft. Just kidding. Don't take what?
No, just kidding.
There's going to be an editing process, and it doesn't have to be perfect on the first run through. You can hire a good editor that will make your writing better if you don't feel like you're a good writer.
Are those expensive? You don't have to tell me.
I had no idea what to expect, and so I just asked for some recommendations, emailed a bunch of people, and it's all over the board. Like,
it just depends.
Yeah, it totally depends on the person.
Okay.
So
it's like getting someone to work on your house. They might be $20 an hour. Yeah. It could be $200 an hour.
There's probably somebody to fit every budget.
And you could probably find, like, a college or, like, a teacher or someone who's like, that'd be fun to do in my free time.
Yeah, yeah.
If you...
Can I go to the writer's workshop at Missouri State University?
Probably.
Here's my old zip card.
They're like, this is expired by 12 years. Don't worry about it.
We don't use these anymore.
The movie theater still takes it, so I don't know what your problem is.
Do you actually do that?
What?
I did that for a long time.
That makes me feel so... like, I'm going to be in trouble that I'm even sitting next to you.
Do you ever sneak in candy bars?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to live a little.
Yeah, sometimes I'm in the movie theater, and then I realize I like, unplanned have a granola bar in my bag.
You're like, I feel horrible.
I feel so horrible, but I'm going to eat it because it was pure and honest. It was an honest
mistake. It's the brand of the granola bar.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Wait. Were those all your tips? It's okay if it was. Like, but you said first draft isn't the only draft. Don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, that might be my only tip. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Fun fact, Kelsey and I went to the same design school. We weren't there at the same time. Well, we weren't in the same class. We were barely there at the same time. But something I always remember from one of our professors, Chetomir. Mm-hmm. Shout out Chetomir. He always listens. Or Cheto, if you're nasty.
I love Chetos.
He would say... go ahead and design all the cliches. Get them out. Get them out of your system. And then do it again, and it's going to be better. But sometimes I do think, like, because I've written a bit in my time, not that I've shared it with anyone, but I do think, like, you're like, I have this great idea. And it's just in there, and you almost, like, it's so distracting until you write it out. And you're like, oh, and you see it, and you're like, well, that was no good. And at least it's out of my brain
or
now.
Or you're like, oh, I wrote The Hunger Games. That was my great idea.
I just had this post-apocalyptic idea.
I was thinking.
I'm at a love triangle with a warrior.
And then, like, children murder.
Survival game.
Vampire. Mm-hmm. There's a vampire and murder.
But anyway, so don't be afraid if you dump out, you know, your first three ideas are like, oh, those
and
are
even
not great.
Like reading, I mean, I probably read the book through like 10 or 15 times. And so even on like the last read through, like before I'm going to upload it to Amazon, I'm even like, oh my gosh, I wrote that. Like, that's awful. And I need to like fix it or whatever.
I did not feel that way.
Or even rereading the physical copy I did last weekend. Some stuff I'm like, mental note. Go change that.
Revised edition. New and revised.
Maybe because you read it so many times that like,
yeah, that's true.
It's easier to spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's your own.
Like, I don't know.
Right. It's your own.
It's
literally a personal story that you personally wrote.
Yeah.
So I would
say. For that matter, another tip would be to also cut yourself off at some point, probably.
Yes.
And done is better than perfect.
I think uploading to Amazon was probably that line. Of like, it's printed and people can order it and I'm not shipping it out.
Yep.
How does that work?
I wrote a blog post about it this week.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, Kelsey's not getting those to everyone in one day.
No, Amazon has this lovely service. Used to be called CreateSpace. About a month before I published it, they changed it all. Surprise.
Thanks, CreateSpace.
Kindle Direct Publishing is what it's called now, KDP. And you when someone orders it, they handle all the payment, they print it on demand, and they ship it to the customer.
They print it and ship it? Yes. So you're only printing per
You're only printing order. What's already sold.
Yep.
And so you don't have to, like, print out 1,500
right.
books and then wait for them to sell and then order more.
And you're not the author in Breakfast at Tiffany's who just has boxes of his own books.
My brother wrote a book and he still has boxes in his garage. Clean them up.
Grant. Shout out, Grant.
Sucks to be you, Grant.
If you want to buy one of Grant's books, Kelsey. Did it too early. If you want to buy one of Grant's books, we'll link it in the show notes.
We're doing a huge giveaway.
Huge giveaway. Boxes of Grant's books.
They're really good. We'll figure out
we'll
the title.
We'll find out if he's ever listened to an episode. Well, he might if his lovely sister is on.
Probably not.
If you're listening, Grant.
We happen to know that Grant likes to poke fun, so that's why we're
here. Now, if I tell him that I mentioned him, he'll listen to it.
Exactly.
Grant, was it worth it? We're 40 minutes in. Was it worth it for us making fun of you about all of your boxes of books? He sold a lot of books, too, we'll say.
He's hope he got waiting. A Grant. Covering those expenses. But boom! Grant jokes.
We'll okay. grant you a wish and get rid of those
Grant you a
books.
Wish okay. and get rid of some of those
okay.
books. Okay. So I want to hear... We're switching gears just a little bit. Let me recap what just happened. Yeah. Kelsey wrote a book without a publisher,
right?
Without an editor.
Mm-hmm. I did have an editor.
Well, she hired an editor. It wasn't like an editor approached
with
her.
With her monies that she made herself right. from her successful e-courses we haven't
so
even
So if
mentioned.
You want to write a book, you absolutely
you can do
can.
It.
Yes.
She just decided to do it, and she did the dang
and
thing.
And the Amazon service is free. They just take a cut. Of yours. So, like, so you don't have
they
to pay
make money. It's like one of those slip and fall lawyers. Like, we only make money
yes,
if you make money. And
exactly.
you're like, sounds good to me.
Slightly more legit.
Only, like, you know, Amazon. So they own all of our souls. Also, I will say, is it that bad? Kate can't control herself.
It's good.
The other thing, it was that bad. The other thing I would like to point out is Kelsey is a single mom and does not have full time childcare.
3 days a week preschool.
She has 3 days a week preschool.
But
she
Most
owns
of when
her
I wrote
business.
This book, it was 2 days a week. Preschool.
2 days. So you have no excuses, ladies.
Yeah.
Kelsey did it. So go do it.
Just make something.
Make something of your life.
And then one more subject, which is the way you kind of finished your book was by batching your
days,
your day, and saying this segment of time I'm reserving for writing. And as one of your e-course students. I found an article you wrote on batch productivity, and I thought it was so brilliant that I texted you right away and said, when you're on the podcast, will you mention batch productivity? Because I think it's really good. So tell me what that means. Go.
So that's like kind of compiling a list. I feel like we all, no matter if it's business or like house things or whatever, you have like all these little tiny tasks that you have to do. And rather than doing them when they come up and like having to, like, ooh. The example I used in the post was, like, tweaks to my website. Like, I need to switch out this one picture, and I'll go and log in, do it, and find the picture, and upload it, and maybe get distracted in there. Rather than, like, doing them as they come up, but, like, keeping a running list of lots of little things, and then kind of assigning a day to all of them. Like, I'm going to make all these little changes on this one day so that I can be in the zone and... get it done faster rather than like switching between different types of tasks, mm-hmm. which kind of takes mental energy.
Like, this is the day I'm going to do my whole to-do list of little tasks that clients aren't waiting on, but they need to be
yes.
done. Like responding to jury duty.
Yeah. And I know...
that happened yesterday, sorry.
You got called to jury duty?
I did.
I did too when I was pregnant.
I just responded. I was like, which direction do I want to take this? Not that I don't think serving your community in jury is... good.
Oh, I want to be on a jury.
Jury duty.
I well, here's jury. The thing.
I've seen so much true crime.
I'm very so pregnant. I would probably get assigned to like a murder case that I'd get too far and like involved in.
That's why they let me go. It was like a.
It was like
it was child.
Bad.
It was a bad case that I was like, and they kept me in several rounds, and I sat on those hard benches, and I was 7 months pregnant, and everyone was like, "Let the pregnant lady go."
Well, I literally, kind of like I said,
that did not make the book, but that is fact.
I said I was the primary, because I could go, I'm self-employed, and if I leave,
yeah.
my business can't make money, or I could go, I'm the primary caregiver, and so I just said, I mean, I didn't say, like, let me out, but I was kind of like, just so you know, I'm the primary caregiver of a 2.5-year-old, and I'll be in my third trimester soon, so you let me know. You, if you want,
on.
If you're signed up for that.
Here's all my situations.
Right, I take a lot of pee breaks. So.
Yes, that was literally when I had to stand up. I was like, I have to go to the bathroom a lot.
Right. A chiropractor can write me a note that my pelvic bones are not aligned right now. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
Jury duty.
Maybe I'll go and I'll like record it all. Is that legal?
I think that's illegal.
Right. You can't even like read the newspaper, right? Okay. Sorry. We derailed horribly. Batch days. So like if you need to do a batch day where you're like uploading a photo on your website that needs to be redone or replying to jury duty.
But part of the point was you have to get out your laptop, log into your interface, which sometimes requires trying to locate that password or whatever, and then starting to kind of like get into the HTML, what does this translate
to like,
zone?
Where is that page?
Exactly. How does that link? So you're in the website management zone. So rather than just do one change, you've already done all that lead up and you've switched modes, you might as well update everything you're going to do at once. If you're not a business owner, if you're not maintaining a website, I feel like this still makes sense. PrepDish, hello, is a batching system. You're essentially saying, I'm getting out my cutting board one time a week, and I'm going to chop everything at once. Or I've already located all of the cleaning supplies. I'm not going to just do one corner.
You're doing one shopping trip, one dragging everything out, one cleaning everything up, and it takes longer than doing it 5 or 6 times a week.
But in one setting,
once.
But probably not. I know people, too, who will, like, kind of do this with, like, appointments, like doctor's appointments and dentist appointments. They'll, like, schedule all of them on the same day.
Oh, that's smart.
Like, once a year or twice a year.
This is my appointment horrible day.
That's a really good idea.
Does sound like torture.
You walk to the doctor and you're, like, drooling from the dentist appointment. I'm sorry, I'm late. It was worse than I thought.
A really expensive day, too.
But just for fun, just because I love talking about making the thing and how to make the thing. We're doing that right now. So Shaylee and I got on our calendars and we blocked out 2 days and we filled them. It's a batch inception. We filled them with interviews. And what's good about that is we already reserved the room. We already set up the microphones. We already soundproofed it in theory. you tell us how
to TBD. TBD.
And we got coffee and we made it a whole thing. And we're not switching modes because as extroverts, this may not work for introverts. I'm not sure. We do get really energized by these interviews, and that energy kind of pulls us through to do all of them in one day.
And also it's accountability, where if it was Katie and I, if it's just the two of us, we might be like, hey, my in-laws are in town now, which they are. And, you know, something came up, could we just, like, reschedule, and then it'll never happen. But if you have guests, and guests like not just guests that you're friends with, that you have scheduled, it's all of a sudden like, no, this is a legit thing, just like anything else in my life, and we're not canceling it.
So we're kind of utilizing the two productivity tips that I find most helpful today. Now, the one we mentioned earlier, which is like designating a location. We're not leaving this location until the task is complete. And also batching it. We're doing all like items grouped together on one day without changing modes.
Yeah. And it's like great unless like one of the hosts gets cold and then their voice is just kind of messed up for like 8 episodes.
I think it's sexy.
Well, we'll see. Everyone will just think it's my normal voice though now, so we're fine.
I like it.
Thanks, Kelsey. So for our segment today, Kelsey.
Yeah, you're so good at naming books.
We're throwing you under the bus, which normally we don't do this with guests, but
you know, we
know you in real life.
You're an author.
You're an author now. We're going to give you a short synopsis of our life memoirs, and then you are going to
title it.
Name our book.
Name our book. Let's try that again. Name our book. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
We named that segment.
We named it live. Lifetime. Okay. Shaylee Murphy, Shaylee Kelly, Shaylee Kelly, Shay, stuttered until she was 6.
That's real.
The youngest of 3. Yeah, they told my mom I'd never outgrow stuttering. Side note, tangent. Was the youngest of 3 and never got a word in. She got 4 of the same words in. True story.
That's good writing.
Then she came out of her shell in middle school when she ran for student council, and she never shut up since.
Name that book.
Oh, gosh.
I just generalized my whole life from a disability that I had when I was a child, but, you know, other than that.
Chapter 1.
Husband, kid, whatever. Yeah, it's great. I just gave you a disability I had and then said, name that book.
But don't offend anymore.
I also had mild Tourette's. Okay, if we're going to go there.
Really?
I had like a tic when I was like in 5th grade through. Maybe still have it now. I think I just channel it better.
Is there like a name for those types of
people?
Like those types of not disabilities.
Don't
label
me. No, Tourette's? Like a tic?
Yeah.
Yeah, they call them tics. And every time I would stop doing one tic, I would like channel it into another one.
Literally. Oh, I've got it.
Okay.
Ticking girl, talking girl.
Whoa!
TikTok.
Kelsey!
Okay, Katie Day.
She had a perm. Actually, she just had permed bangs.
Oh, nice.
Her glasses, large and pink. Because her mom let her pick them herself. She was shy and reserved until musical theater taught her she had a voice. She straightened her bangs. She got contacts. Everything ended up okay. She's Katie Fenstermaker Day. Name that book.
Strong Bangs, Brave Bangs.
She named that book.
She named that book. I'd read that book.
I'd read that book.
What's behind the bangs?
Oh, Kelsey, thank you for being our first guest to come back.
I'm going to challenge anyone to journal.
Oh.
And all you have to do is just take a picture that you did journal. We don't have to see what you journaled about. And we'll give one away.
And you hashtag strong bangs, brave, no, strong girl, brave girl. Hashtag strong girl, brave girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And tag us in it, and Kelsey, and we'll find you.
Yep.
And journal one of out. You will win a book. And then Amazon will print it and send it to
no,
you.
No, I already have it.
Oh.
Kelsey has it.
She'll sign it.
Who I'll took your awesome make her sign promo it. Photos?
Katie J.
KDP.
KDP.
That was a really fun day. Shaylee.
Yeah.
I also want to challenge you to journal. Just for fun.
Oh, I don't write things.
Do
type
it.
Type it. It's so much easier.
Then I'm afraid someone's going to find it. Like Jonathan's going to be like reformatting my computer and be like, oh, these are all your innermost thoughts. And like,
well, let's be honest. Neither of our husbands care.
I know. He would be like,
oh, then listen to the podcast.
You can like start it with like some boring like client meeting notes and then halfway through.
Title each one. Client.
I'm going to title it.
Client
no,
meeting.
I'll title it like tracking my cycle. It wouldn't go near it.
Make sure you guys join us next week for our interview with the amazing Michelle Knight. She is a storyteller and a branding coach and the founder of Brand Mary. Guys, we talk about boundaries, harmony, and she talks a little bit about email lists. She schooled us.
Yeah, we asked her to.
We asked her to.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously, we love you.